You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Hello and welcome along to Bunty's Boxing Podcast for William Hill. We're looking ahead to a superb domestic bill at the Leeds Arena on Saturday evening. We're also going to take a look ahead to Carl Frampton's fight over in New York as well. Bunty's on the line. How are you, Bunty?
Never been better. What a weekend. You could sit in front of your television at about 7 o'clock on Saturday and stand up about 6 o'clock on Sunday morning, and I doubt you'd be bored. Absolutely cracking weekend of fight.
It is good stuff. And what we've seen in the past when Josh Warrington headlines at the Leeds Arena, the atmosphere there, it's something else, isn't it?
Yeah, Josh has got this thing that, in fact, I was just talking about him a couple of days ago to some people, and he's got this thing, he's got this real hometown hero thing. I mean, Ricky Hatton had it, and then before that, you have to sort of think a little bit. Maybe Henry Wharton 20-odd years ago in Leeds and York had a bit of a thing. But Josh is really putting the numbers together. There's a lot of popular boxers that attract 200 or 300 fans, but he's attracting thousands of fans. A big difference. And I think in the last 25 years, he's in the top three hometown heroes. I really do.
Yeah, he certainly gets the crowd going in Leeds. We'll move on to that in due course. Obviously, that's the main event at the Leeds Arena. We'll start with some of the other fights on the card first. We'll start with Tyrone Nurse against Tommy Coyle, if we may, Bunsey. Both these fighters pretty experienced, both 26 years of age. It's 1-4, though, for Tyrone Nurse. The draw 22-1, Tommy Coyle 3-1. Should Nurse be that short?
No, I don't think he should be that short. I think he's very generous. Coyle at 3-1, if you want my honest opinion. Nurse's a good fighter. He's had some hard bouts to get to the stage he's at now. He looked good last time out, but he was also came up against Willie Limon, who was a little bit long in the tooth. So that sort of complimented him, made him look slightly better than he was. A couple of draws and hard fights along the way. And Coyle, what makes Coyle dangerous is this hunger. You know, he's Mr. Hull. He got a bit exposed by Luke Campbell, a sort of childhood friend. Of course, Luke Campbell had a gold medal in 2012. And I think Coyle's on a bit of a mission. I'm not reading too much into the weight difference, in the sense that Coyle has traditionally campaigned as a lightweight, and this fight's up at light welter for the British light welter title. I think this is a really hard and really tough fight. Unless Tommy Coyle's lost a bit in the last few months, I can see him really pushing Tyrone Nurse. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if at the end we're all waiting, and Tommy Coyle's case, with his fingers crossed, wouldn't surprise me at all if Tommy Coyle didn't nick the decision. A tight decision, one I'm sure they'd all complain about. I think Tommy Coyle's been in with better fighters. He's also had harder fights, so they may be 26, but I think in boxing years, Coyle's probably a bit old. And I just have a feeling that he's going to take it, but I think it'll be tight and I think it'll be disputed. And I think there'll be a second one, probably in Hull. Bingo, there they go.
Another rumble on the Humber or something like that.
Another rumble on the Humber. We're getting up with Tommy Coyle to rumble on the Humber 7, which has got no particular ring to it, but that's where we are.
Yeah. It's 3-1 in the betting, Tommy Coyle. Tommy Coyle on points as well is 11-2. Yeah, so would you lean towards the 11-2 there, or would you just back him up?
Yeah, I would. I mean, you know, hey, listen, anyone can get stopped, they can get hit on the chin. Tommy Coyle got beat in a mammoth fight with Derry Matthews when he was way in front, got knocked out, surprised, you know, shockingly in the 10th round. So that can happen. But unless one of them tired drastically, I don't see one of them knocking the other one out. Maybe stopping. I mean, you know, Tyrone Nurse, he's on a bit of a form. You know, perhaps Tommy will be found wanting, and Nurse can get to him late. I don't see that. I see it going to 12 rounds. And I see Coyle on point. And that, you know, what was it, 11-2? That's not bad. Yeah. That's not a bad bet.
Yeah, for the big hitters out there as well, fight to go the distance, 2-7. It sounds like you think, regardless, it's going to go to a decision at the end.
Yeah, I sort of do, really. Yeah, unless Tommy tries too hard and blows out. But I can't see that happening. He's too experienced, you know. He's too experienced. A lot of Tyrone Nurse's 36 fights have been on small shows, where he hasn't really been pushed or tested. So even though he's got 36 fights, which is 11 more than Tommy Coyle at 25, I would say that Tommy Coyle is, it sounds odd, but the more experienced of the two.
Let's move on to David Allen against Dillian White next.
Get
then.
In!
David Allen 5-1, the draw 33-1. Dillian White is 1-8 in the betting. Dillian White's got pretty impressive figures until he bumped into Anthony Joshua. 17 wins, 14 by knockout, then got knocked out by Joshua. He takes on David Allen, who's yet to lose as well. So is it going to be more in this than the betting suggests there?
Well, it's a strange old fight because I spoke to Dillian a couple of days ago and a simple question I asked him is, Dillian, why has Dave Allen taken this fight? And he said, Steve, I don't know. Because Dave Allen doesn't need this fight right now. He's 10 fights unbeaten, 9 wins, 1 draw, 6 stoppages. Dave Allen's a baby at 24. He doesn't need this fight. You know, he could have this fight in a year's time when Dillian White's had another 4 or 5 fights. He can have it in a year's time when Dave Allen's had another 6 fights. It's a strange fight. And what Dillian said is, all they've done, Steve, is they've looked at my last fight where I was bad, but that's because the guy didn't want to fight, so it was hard for me. Plus, he was coming off shoulder surgery from an injury he sustained in the Anthony Joshua fight, which was a great fight until he was knocked out in the 7th round, remember. We tend to forget that. It was a really hard fight. Joshua's hardest 6 completed rounds, but by a long margin. So what Dillian said is that Dave Allen's people think he's still got a shoulder problem, think he's going to be fat, and think his words, by the way, and think that the Joshua fight took it all out of him. And as Dillian said, no, that was a blessing in disguise. It showed me you shouldn't fight with an injury. Plus, I pushed the heavyweight champion of the world. It was all down to one punch in the end. So I think Dave Allen is massively overmatched here. And I would be really surprised if Dillian White didn't stop him in about 4 or 5 rounds, or even 3 rounds. I'm sort of stunned. I can't see Dave Allen's reasoning for taking this fight. And you know what? If Dave Allen hits Dillian on the chin and knocks him spark out, then he does it quicker than Joshua, then that shows that Dave Allen isn't just a fighter with talent, but he's a fighter that's arrived. And I don't think we're at that stage yet with Dave Allen. I think Dillian White has too much. He'll be too strong, too big, too powerful, too confident. And I would be amazed if it goes more than about 4 or 5 rounds. And I think Dillian White wins it hands down. And I still can't work out for the life of me why Dave Allen's taken the fight. It's not even for the British title. I could understand it if the British title had been added to it, because that's now vacant. But it hasn't. It's a strange fight. It's a strange one. But you know what? I'll tell you what is guaranteed. It'll be a fight until it ends.
Yeah. I suppose, just get like what you've said there, I suppose maybe Allen's camp do think that Dillian White's not quite where he used to be, and to beat Dillian White here would be a massive statement from a young fighter.
If Dave Allen wins, it's a phenomenal win for them. And by the way, Dillian White then can't say, yeah, but the thing is, my shoulder is bad. No way. Dillian's on record as saying, my shoulder's fine, my body's fine, my head's right, I'm back in the mix. And Dillian White is right. He wins this. He wins another fight against, you know, some sort of half-edged contender. Then Dillian's right back in the mix. You know, he could end up getting a world title fight. And so Dave Allen's mob, I think, people have taken a punt, as we like to say in bookie shop lingo. They've taken a punt on Dillian White not being right, and I just think they've got their sums wrong on the day. I think Dillian White is A, right, and I think he's going to be far too much for Dave Allen.
Yeah, obviously the betting reflects that. Dillian White 1-8. White to win by knockout is 1-3. But you come back White to win in round 1-3 at 11-4. Would that appeal?
Yeah, that would appeal, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if it was that early. I don't think Dave Allen's been anywhere near anybody that punches as hard as Dillian White. And what Dillian White has said is Dave Allen thinks sparring with Tyson Fury prepares you for fighting me, and he's wrong. And Dillian White should know, because no man on planet Earth has sparred more rounds with Tyson Fury. It prepares you for certain things. It gets you ready to be a fighter. It makes you a good fighter, but it doesn't prepare you for when a man of about 17 and a half stone who doesn't like you hits you with a 10-ounce glove. That's very different than Tyson Fury slapping you occasionally and hitting you occasionally with 18-ounce gloves. It's a very different business, trust me.
After this, by the way, just say Dillian White wins, we're going to get probably a little bit of reaction in the ring. He's going to be calling for Chisora. Chisora says he's waiting for him, doesn't he?
Yeah, Chisora is a good fight because it's a couple of guys that, you know, that have been there and they still want to get there and they're still there about. So the winner of Chisora and White gets a crack at something. That's guaranteed. That's one option. Plus Dillian, might end up trying to push himself against Deontay Wilder, the WBC heavyweight champion, who's out at the moment with an injury. There's fights for them. Don't worry about that. There are fights out there for these guys. There's a lot of heavyweights floating around at the moment. There's a lot of good heavyweights floating around at the moment that can be in good fights. And Dillian White is in that mix. Let me tell you something. Dillian White, if you want to know the honest truth, let's be brutal here about the way the boxing business works. Dillian White could knock over some fat Latvian on Saturday night, and he'd still find himself walking into a Chisora fight, or he'd still find himself walking into a final eliminator for a world title. That's the way the business works. But no, Dillian White's taking on a potentially risky fight. I just think that Allen's people have got their sums wrong. But it's still a dangerous fight, because if Dillian loses this, it really ruins him. It ruins. He's got to go back a couple of stages, and it will take him a year to get to where he is now. Whereas if you lose to a fat Latvian, you put it down to bad training, you put it down to a cut eye, and the Latvian vanishes back to the Baltic states, you never hear from him again. This is different. This is a man on your doorstep. And that's why it's a risk for White in that sense. But I just don't see it transpiring. I don't see it being a risk once the bell sounds.
All right, confident then on a Dillian White victory there. Let's move on to Arjunas Mendes against Luke Campbell.
Yes,
Mendes 4-1, 25-1 for the draw. Campbell 1-6 in the betting. Obviously, Campbell an Olympic hero, and his career looked to be going great guns. Is 1-6 the right price about him here? He should outclass Mendes, shouldn't he?
He should outclass Mendes. Mendes, even though he's still only young, really, in boxing terms, only about 18 months older than Luke, he's 30 years of age, Mendes. He's had a rum old, hard old career, some hard old fights in there. Plus, he was done recently by a good fighter called Robert East, who was about to fight, I think, for a vacant title. Plus, I'm hearing reports from New York that just 2 weeks ago, he was sparring with a man called Josh Taylor, who's going to be fighting on the Carl Frampton undercard. And apparently it was a hell of a war, which is code for Josh Taylor was bashing him up. It's the way, if someone's talking to you about some sparring and they say, oh, it was a hell of a war, or they say, oh, he looked a bit warm. If he looked a bit warm, that meant that their man was getting a hiding. If they say it was a hell of a war, that means, without bragging, that their man was bashing up the other man. And what's more, he's a big old lump, Josh Taylor. So if Arjunas Mendes has been having really hard sparring sessions with Josh Taylor in the last 2 weeks, that's not going to be doing him any good. Luke Campbell was disappointing last December when he got beat by Yves Mendy, the Frenchman. And why he was disappointed wasn't just because you can lose. Any fighter can lose. Any fighter can get hit on the chin and go down and then stay on their feet and lose a decision. Any fighter can lose. It's the nature of the preparation and the attitude during the defeat that really signifies how that fight has lost. And Luke Campbell lost badly in that sense, because he fought like a man that believed he only had to show up, put his gum shield in, put his jock strap on and go a few rounds. So that was a really bad lapse in attitude. And attitude is in many ways everything, which is why really good fighters like Josh Warrington, like Anthony Joshua, like Frank Bruno years ago, they train for every fight like it's their last fight, like it's a world title fight. And I think Luke was found wanting in that area last time. So he needs to come back. And I think he will. I think he'll get to Mendy. It wouldn't surprise if he gets to him in the second half of the fight, 6-7 rounds, something like that. And there should be some good money available on that.
No, you think he'll knock him out there in the fight?
I think he'll stop him. Either stop, just drop him, just get to him. I think Luke knows he's missed the boat a little bit, in the sense that guys that boxed at the Olympics, guys at the who boxed at the Olympics have overtaken him. From 2012, there's one guy called Oscar Valdez who's gone on to win a world title, who lost to the guy that Luke beat in the final, and he's already a world champion and unbeaten. Also, Anthony Joshua is cracking on. So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if Luke finally wants to make a statement, and I think he'll get to this guy in the second, halfway point, second half of the fight.
Yeah. Campbell to win by knockout is 5-6. Campbell to win round 7-9 is 9-2, and then 10-12 is 8-1. So you could split your stakes on those if you.
Yeah, they're not very generous there. I mean, I know he got stopped last time out. Mendes, but that was by a guy called Robert Easter, who everyone considers to be a really great fighter. So it's a little bit meagre those odds. would have thought it could have been a bit better, but hey ho.
Yeah, well, he's 1-6 in the bout betting, isn't it? They're not taking any chances on Campbell, because in all seriousness, if you put a line through Campbell's last fight, he'd be shorter than 1-6 in this fight this time, wouldn't he?
Absolutely, yeah. And he's changed trainers again, which is about his fourth or fifth set of trainers. They're not good signs. You know, when guys, you know, it's like a footballer. You know, if a footballer's been at five, if a footballer is proclaiming himself and other people are saying he's the greatest thing since sliced bread and he's been at five clubs under four managers in 3 years, you're worried, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah. Fair enough. Let's move on to the main event of the evening in Leeds. Then Josh Warrington against Patrick Hyland. Josh Warrington 1-5, 20-1 for the draw. Patrick Hyland is 4-1. We know what the atmosphere is going to be like. We know that Josh Warrington wants a title shot. He wants Selby as well, and he's going to have Saul Bamba walking him out as well. So the crowd are going to be really riled up on Saturday.
Heard that.
Yeah. Is he going to sail through this like the odds suggest he should, and the crowd want? This is his toughest test to date still, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a good fighter, Ireland. A couple of, you know, he's had a couple of defeats, but against good fighters. No, I don't think he's going to sail for it like the crowd will want. I don't think the crowd expect him to. They might want him to sail for it. It's not a stupid crowd, the Leeds boxing crowd. It's becoming more and more educated each time Warrington fights. And that's not a slight on Leeds boxing fans. But, you know, you become more educated the more boxing you go to. So those guys are starting to understand now. They'll look at Hyland. Hopefully there'll be a couple of good things in the local papers pointing out just how good Hyland is in every which way. And I fancy Josh will win. I'd be stunned if it's a stoppage. That'd be unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'd also be surprised if he lost. He's on a bit of a roll, Josh. I mean, a bit more than a roll, really. 23 undefeated instead of Baby at 25. It's a really good win for him, this. It puts him in the picture. And that whole thing with the featherweight, oh boy, you know, obviously Lee Selby, who's going to be ringside watching Leo Santa Cruz defend his title against Carl Frampton. Then there's Gary Russell Jr., who stopped Patrick Hyland, I think, last year or whenever. I think it was this year. Then Oscar Valdez, a guy I just mentioned, who's got the WBO. There's some really good fights out there for Josh Warrington, and I'd be disappointed if he can't secure one of them after this fight, because Patrick Hyland is a perfect semi-final before you go to a world title fight. It'd be disappointing to go back, sell out the first direct again in another semi-final. That's not a nice pattern. That's a pattern that some fans stand back and say, hold on a minute, wasn't that fight against Hyland 2 fights ago meant to be the final fight before a world title fight? You beat Hyland on points and you push your case for one of those world titles. I fancy Josh wins on points, but I think it's going to take a little bit of the crowd, a little bit of 13th man to help him. So Josh Warrington on points.
Warrington on points then. That's 8-13 in the betting. And the winner of this, you'd expect, would get, well, possibly go for the vacant WBC title, which we're expecting to come up. And then it would be a case, if Warrington does get there, then he says he wants Selby at the end of the year for the IBF belt. Would that be the way he'd be planning on this?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Selby sort of scutching around at the moment. He's not quite sure what he's doing, Selby. He's flown out to, you know, he was probably, he had a bit of a conundrum earlier this week. He's thinking, do I sit ringside in Leeds or do I go out to New York and throw my hat in the ring out there? Or do I throw my hat in the ring in Leeds? And it was almost like eeny, meeny, miny, moe with him. And he opted to go out to New York to see if he can get the winner of Santa Cruz and Frampton, which is possible. You know, there's no two ways about it. I think the fight with Warrington could have been made easier, and I'd like to see it made, be honest with you. So I'd like to see Selby and Warrington. That's the fight that makes sense. There's a bit of needle, why ever not?
Yeah, it'd be great to look forward to. It's going to be same old story with Warrington, though, isn't it? He's going to outbox his opponent, probably. Is it going to be an issue for Warrington that he can't knock a man out, really?
No, not really, because he's winning comfortably and he's breaking their hearts. And, you know, it's nice if you can hit a guy on the chin and he goes over, don't get me wrong. But if you keep having a lot of good 12-round fights and long fights, you know, you're putting yourself in good position. You're probably not going to, even good punchers don't knock out good fighters. You know, let's get that right. You know, even, you know, as hard as, say, Carl Frampton bangs, you know, he doesn't knock out good fighters. He goes 12 rounds with people like Scott Quigg and Kiko Martinez. And so, and Selby can bang, you know, can bang a little bit. He's a bit more of a forceful puncher, but he still goes 12 rounds like he did, I think, last time out against Eric Hunter. So no, what Josh does is what Josh does. He's busy, throws a lot of punches, he connects with a lot of punches, he's got a good chin, he's got a great work rate and a great and a great engine. And if he hits people on the chin and he gets to them, he gets to them. He doesn't go looking for knockouts. Now, you know, it's not necessarily helpful to not have a punch, but it's not a hindrance. It's not a brick wall in front of you and doesn't bar you from becoming a world champion. Certainly not.
No. And it hasn't cost him so far.
No, is it heck?
Yeah, exactly. Let's move over to the fight in New York then to finish off with Bunty. Leo Santa Cruz against Carl Frampton. Santa Cruz is 4-11. The draw 22-1. Carl Frampton is 23-10. This is for the WBA Super World Featherweight title, a title that Santa Cruz has defended three times already, and he's 4-11 in the betting here. Is this going to be tough for Carl?
Yeah, it's going to be tough for both of them. I think the Americans and Santa Cruz's people thought this would be an easy fight. I don't think Carl Frampton and his people, that's Barry McGrigan and co, thought it would ever be easy. They knew it would be a hard fight. I think it's just dawning on Santa Cruz this week that this is a really hard fight. This is a really tough fight. It's a pick-em fight, and I really mean that. I don't think the bookies had it that way 2 or 3 weeks ago. They've closed slightly. They've got a bit closer, the odds. I think it's a really hard fight. I started off thinking that Frampton might just nick a points decision, and I've come around the last week or so to Santa Cruz winning a really hard decision, a really close decision, probably disputed, and providing Carl doesn't get marked up. He does mark up, and Santa Cruz throws a lot of punches, including chopping punches, which come down, and he's 3 inches taller. His reach is 7 inches longer, so we get a bit of loop and a bit of spin on those shots. And if they're coming down behind Carl's guard, they could start to damage Carl's eyebrows and cheeks. So providing Carl doesn't get cut or bruised and isn't stopped because of injury, I just see it going to 12, and I see it maybe being a split decision. I could just see Santa Cruz getting it because he holds all sorts of records for the amount of punches thrown him round in championship fights. And even if they're not all connecting, they're stopping you throwing your work, plus they're catching the eyes of the judges. I'd be amazed if it's easy. And I just fancy Santa Cruz on points, but I'm not big on that at all. But I just fancy that's what happens.
6-4 for Santa Cruz on points, which is of appeal, isn't it?
Yeah, more than of appeal. I think that's half decent. What's Santa Cruz stoppage in 9, 10, 11, something like that?
Santa Cruz 10-12 is 9-1.
That's not a bad bet because of my bruising theory. Carl does mark up. But saying that, that was when he used to have to lose a lot of weight, gaining 4 pounds for this fight. And that 4 pounds allows your skin, just gives your skin a bit more elasticity. So, it's not as brittle. It's not as hard. It's, you know, it's got a bit more moisture in it, to be, for want of a better expression. I just fear for Carl marking up, and I just fancy Santa Cruz will come home on points, if not some sort of injury stoppage. So that's sort of late 8, 9, 10. That ain't a bad little sideways bet there.
Yeah. I've just scrolled further down, actually. Alternate groups round betting. Leo Santa Cruz to win round 7-12. So that's the second half of the fight. 4-1.
Whoa. Blimey. Hey, that's not... Listen, there's a couple of bets there.
Yeah.
So there's some half decent bets all the way through, to be honest.
What would be your best bet this weekend then? Because you mentioned a few, obviously.
What was the best bet? What was Warrington on points? That was I quite like that. I sort of think that's a strong one.
Warrington on points is 8-13.
Listen, mix them all up. There's plenty of bets in there.
Just put them all together, it'd be fine.
Pick them all up. Yeah, there's a nice acky in there.
Yeah.
If you just take the words. We've had a couple of big ones coming.
Yeah, nice. Good work, Bunty. Been a pleasure speaking to you once again. Good luck and enjoy it all on Saturday night.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.